It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hello, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and it's once again time here on KETR for us to visit and talk about the outdoors. You know, I want to remind everyone, the Texas Trophy Hunter Show this year has changed locations, or it will change locations. You know, for years there in Fort Worth, it's been held at the Will Rogers Coliseum. This year, August the 5th through the 7th, the Texas Trophy Hunter Show will be at the Fort Worth Convention Center, a new location, and I'm doing the best I can to get the word out. I know a lot of us are so programmed to go to Will Rogers that if we don't hear about it or are not informed, we'll wind up there for the opener. But again, the Texas Trophy Hunter Show this year, August the 5th through the 7th, will be held there at the Fort Worth Convention Center. You know, I had a recent newspaper article on fishing down at Lake Tawakoni under the new bridge, the highway bridge there that most of us refer to it as the Tuma Bridge. It's a really wide, beautiful, beautiful structure, well designed and well needed. But what it does, it provides an awful lot of shade for fishermen. The old bridge is being dismantled now, but the new bridge, there's a lot of people catching a lot of catfish under it. Now, David Hansen, a good friend of mine that guides down there at Tawakoni, has been fishing it. It's no secret about how good the catfishing is, especially for channel catfish down there. But the point I'd like to get across, first give you some tips on how to catch them, but then some just common sense things that I'd like to remind you when fishing in areas that are popular, where other fishermen are going to be. Now, if you get some good punch bait, there's a lot of varieties on the market that you can use, but a good punch bait that stays on the hook well, it's really simple fishing. You want to get in water 25 to 30 foot deep, and there's a lot of that under that new bridge. And chumming a hole with soured grain is very important. It brings them in there. You could probably catch fish. I'm sure you could catch some channel catfish without chumming. But chumming is a big, big help. You can use any kind of soured grain, wheat, maize, corn. Maize is a good grain to sour because it's easy for the catfish to pick up, and there's a lot of little seeds in it. So if you want to really get those catfish going quick, get you a 5-gallon bucket and fill it about 3/4 with maize and pour the rest water in there. If you want to put a can of beer in there to kick off the process a little quicker, that's fine too. You can also use range cubes, but the real fact of the matter is if you use a good smelly soured grain, the catfish can smell it quicker, and I think it brings them to you better. I have some friends that use strictly cattle range cubes as chum, and they'll go out there and put out, a couple of pound coffee cans right under their boat and drop down and start fishing, and they'll catch fish, especially at a lake like Tawakoni. So, you know, regardless of what kind of chum you use, use some chum. The terminal rig on your catfishing rig is easy. Use about a number 4 hook. Number 6 is also good. With a weight about 6 inches above it. The real trick is this. You know, sometimes those catfish are right on the bottom, and sometimes they're suspended up. So just vary your depths when you're fishing. Now, the point that I mentioned or alluded to a little bit earlier is courtesy on the water. And I know that all of you listening that actually fish and take your boats out, you'll appreciate this, but For goodness sake, you know, if you see somebody anchored or tied up under the bridge there, you're going to see a lot of fishermen under that new bridge, the new two-mile bridge. The fish are there, the catfish are there, plus the shade is there. So it's going to be even more popular than it has been the past few weeks. If you see someone under that bridge fishing, do not pull right up there on top of them. When I was fishing with Hansen working on the newspaper article, we had a boat come in 20-25 yards and just started fishing. I mean, that's really not necessary. I mean, it's really kind of rude and disrespectful, in my opinion, and most fishermen's opinion. Now, you know, obviously what that person was doing is taking advantage of someone's baited hole. He was getting in on it, you know. Just really not kosher. There's just too much shade and too much water. And not only there on that new bridge, but anywhere you fish. Say you're out on the lake and somebody's in a school of stripers or white bass. I've many, many times in my fishing career, I've watched people just buzz right up there to the deal, put the fish down. You know, it'll spook them if they're running a big motor through them, and just hog in on your place. But common courtesy when you're fishing or anything else in the outdoors is paramount. It's very, very important. I was out this past week with an editor friend of mine that I write for, a magazine editor, and his son, hog hunting. And I'll tell you what, it's the trick. There's a couple of key factors to think about. I hunt hogs for the meat. You know, I know that they're a nuisance to a lot of people, but to me, a hog is an eating hog is a valuable item. You need to have a cooler with at least 20 pounds of ice with you before you even get there. Out on a hog hunt that during the summer months, either hunt at night, which is when most hogs are killed, honestly. You know, if you can put a game camera up on your feeder and monitor when they're coming in, that'll help you a lot. And I won't even hunt a spot, a feeder or a stand, unless I've seen hogs coming in the previous two nights. So if you see them coming in at 9 or 11, well, then that's good knowledge for you. But make sure back at the truck before you go out there that you have at least 20 pounds of ice in a cooler. You're going to need it because you're going to need to skin and quarter that hog, whether it's early in the morning or midnight. If you're going to be hunting them this time of year, you're going to need to skin and quarter it quickly and chill that meat down. So, you know, you'll need ice, and it's not always out in the woods. You know, it's a store is not always 10 minutes away where you can find ice, especially when you're hunting at night. But the big deal is you need it on hand so that you can put it to use right away and chill that meat down. You know, in the fall, actually, around the end of August this year, we head up to Colorado. Buddy and I, Larry Large, who's been a guest many times, we lease a ranch up there and have elk and bear hunts each year. And I have been making ready for that. It's kind of a year-round thing, getting ready. We've got 2 weeks of hunters, or five-day hunts, two groups coming in. Most of them are repeat guys and ladies that hunt with us, but I've been getting some food ready, and I thought it's always fun to think about ways to put game and fish to use. But I actually right now in the refrigerator, I have about 20 pounds of pork that's boned and cut into probably an inch and a half thick pieces, slabs, if you will. Oh, they'll weigh probably pound and a half to 2 pounds a piece, not very thick. I have those rubbed with a sugar cure, and I'll go over that with you here. If you don't have any fresh wild pork, you can use domestic pork. You don't want to use a bone-in ham, a big old ham. I'm talking about curing, making ham from cuts of pork that weigh no more than 2 pounds, you know, and that are no more than 2 inches thick. You can get a good sugar cure. A lot of places you can find it. Butcher Packer Supply they have a sugar cure that I use. You can go online to butcher-packer.com, butcher-packer.com, and check out the sugar cure. It can be kind of hard to find, but that's a good spot to get it ordered. But think ahead. Get your sugar cure on hand. Get it ready. And basically, it's a simple process, and it hangs a lot of people up. But you can take your meat. They're going to weigh no more than 2 pounds, and they're not going to be these chunks no more than 2 inches thick. You want them to cure in 7 days, actually, is what it takes. Rub the sugar cure on the meat. Go in sterile with your hands. Rub it real good, and it's sodium nitrate in the cure that you have. And it will penetrate in there and cure that meat in about 7 days. Now, if you have a big old hunk of meat, 4, 5, or 6 inches thick, it'll take a lot longer than that. So stick with, especially in the summertime, stick with smaller pieces, and you want to put them in your refrigerator, keep them about 38 degrees for about 7 days. And at that time, that meat will be cured. Of course, it's yet to be smoked. The curing process allows you to cold smoke meats. In other words, you can smoke at low temperatures. It's cured. It's not going to spoil quickly. So what I do after 7 days, well, I better back up just a little bit. During the time that meat's in the refrigerator, I'll turn it every couple of days, move it around so to make sure that all of it is exposed to the it actually juices are formed, and that helps cure the meat. I'll add a little dark brown sugar into it. You don't have to do that, but I do. I think it just gives it a little sweeter flavor, the finished product. But after 7 days, take it out of your refrigerator, and you're really supposed to wash it off. I usually don't wash it off. I like to leave that residue on there when I smoke it, but the book says wash it off and then put it in your smoker. I use a Smoking Tech electric smoker that there's different models, but mine is a 1400, and it'll hold, oh gosh, probably, I don't know how much, 20-25 pounds of these pieces of ham that they're cured meat, but they're not smoked yet. I'll put a good pecan wood, dried plum. You want a dry wood in that smoke box, and I'll put that Smoking Tex on about 140, something like that. And I'll let it smoke. You know, that's pretty low temperature. Let it smoke for a couple of hours at 140, and then I'll usually crank it on up to maybe 150. I'll bring the internal temperature of that what's going to be ham up to close to 160, and then that gives it a wonderful flavor that the wood smoke does. You're not cooking it, you're smoking it, you know. So you want to keep in mind that the meat is not fully cooked. Pork you need to have above 160, you know that. So at this point, I'll take it off the smoker after it's probably spent 5 or 6 hours slow smoking. That gives it a good smoky flavor. I'll let it cool, and I'll put it back in Ziploc bags and put it back in the refrigerator for another 2 or 3 days. I think that gives time for the cure to really, really do its thing and work in the meat. But it's really, really simple. And then, of course, we'll be taking all this ham up to Colorado on our elk hunt. But I'll take... And if I'm going to keep it a while, I'll vacuum seal it. I have one of those vacuum sealers, and I'll put them in bags and vacuum seal it. But if you're going to eat it within, oh gosh, you know, if you just make a small batch, you're going to eat within 2 or 3 months. You don't have to vacuum seal it. Just keep it good and cold. But that's a tip for you. You can buy pork if you don't have it on hand. Not everyone's like me that hunts all the time, but you can go to a market and find some on sale, you know, and use the, really, if you buy the larger cuts, a lot of times you can get this for less than $2 a pound, which is a good deal, or even pork loin. If you watch the sales and all, you can catch pork loin sometime at $1.99 a pound, which is a very good deal. And pork loin, there's no very little fat, but it makes awesome ham. People think that to eat ham, you need a big ham. That's what comes to mind with bone in. But in truth, these smaller pieces make for easier storage, and they're really, you know, you're not defrosting. If you freeze it, you know, you're not defrosting a whole bunch. You have just enough for maybe, you know, one or two breakfast meals. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at ketr.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.